Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to Kay Thompson Live. I'm Kay Thompson, and
I'm Eric Payne.
How are you today, Eric, tonight?
All right.
Good, good. We are on the GoPro Radio Network, and we are the news, information, education, arts, and culture station on the Internet. And we have a lot to talk about tonight. You know, I want to get right into talking about jazz, you know, downtown Newark. We are expecting to hear from Dorothy Ann Kirk. She's the lady with the jazz down there at downtown Newark, and she's affiliated with the radio station down there, which is the only jazz radio station downtown Newark. That's WBGL. Not to give them a plug, but, you know, anyway, so with Dorothy is going to be calling in. Mm-hmm. And I also gave her name to the people in the master control. So if she's not going to be, you know, sometimes you forget about calling in. And furthermore, if she's going to be free, if she forgets.
Right, right.
And we could also call her because I gave her a number. In. But anyway, she's a pretty popular lady. She's also going to be doing, she's the person that sets up the Jazz Vespers,
uh-huh.
You know, at Reverend Bill Howard's church.
What are the Jazz Vespers?
Well, it's, you know, bringing in different, you know, groups and different people who are involved with jazz because, as you know, Newark is pretty much a center of jazz downtown Newark.
Right, right.
And Dorothy Ann is really a very, very important person, you know, down there. She's involved with community relations and all that kind of thing. And, you know, there's a whole lot of things going on downtown Newark, especially now with the new things going on at the Meadowlands or the preparations for.
Well, the preparations for the Super Bowl,
right.
That are going to spill over to Newark and various other communities, probably here in Jersey City as well, and various communities around close to the Meadowlands.
Yeah, yeah.
First ever, not the first ever, but in a long time. First time in a long time that they're having a Super Bowl in a cold weather area.
Really?
And they're hoping that it's not too cold,
mm-hmm.
Not blizzardly cold.
And especially cold, in that area.
Because, yeah.
Wide
because,
open.
Because it would be a problem with people, you know. They try to make that a total week experience where people
yeah.
can go to various events and everything centered around football. And obviously that gets hampered when you do that in a cold weather state. So. Hopefully, it'll be something that's pretty special. They're going to make some special arrangements for it. It's probably going to be real, real nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And Newark is one of the cities that's going to benefit from, as you know, it's been going through a renaissance.
Sure, a lot of new things downtown
New things,
Newark.
You said a mouthful. The yeah. senator, so the senatorial race, now the mayor of Newark is running for senator. And he's a Democratic candidate, and there's going to be a mayoral race in Newark next year. So
yeah.
A lot of exciting things that are going there. They were even talking about Don Payne Jr. possibly running for mayor, but I don't think that's going to happen
uh-huh.
at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of things happening on today. You know, the Senate panel okayed the Syria plan. The president wants to go and do some, what does he call it, targeted strikes in Syria.
Sure.
And it's a lot of stuff.
But you know what?
Pretty confusing. It sounds like to me.
Yeah, but I think he's doing the right thing by dropping it back on Congress. That's what they wanted.
Well, yeah.
You know, they were objecting to the fact that he may really cause a strike to happen in Syria. You know, so and they've been killing people all up to this particular point, and nothing has been done. So I don't know. I don't know why the United States is so involved with these other countries, you know, and their problems.
Right.
Russia is not, you know, a friend of the United States, and they're kind of hanging back to see what's going on.
Well, I guess it's a whole kind of bigger plan. They want to send a message to Iran
yeah.
and send a message to this person and that. It's just we're all up in everybody's business all over the world trying to control things and be more involved than we want to let on, than the average American knows about. And so we end up getting caught in things.
Yeah.
The whole good thing about that is I think that the president wants to include other people in on the decision, so it doesn't look like
what?
Doesn't look like he's making the decision on his own. It's just funny.
That's
that
what
this
they
guy,
don't want.
He catches the most. I don't know whether they want it or not. He just it's just ironic how much hell he catches from all sides, from these people that are obvious racists that are still mad that the president is a black man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that every time I say it, because every single day, they make it obvious that they hate the fact that he's there. And once that's their perspective, their statement, their MO, that they want to make sure he was a one-term president, they can't stand, then everything else that comes out of their mouth whether it's in support or against him, and they try to make it seem like, well, they just have a basic disagreement with him. No, you, everything you disagree with him about is predicated on the fact that you hate him.
That's
and
right.
You don't want him to be in office.
That's right.
So therefore, why should I believe that you're going to be honest about any assessment that you might have, people like John McCain and all these other people, even though they're with him on the plan, they have to talk about, you know,
they're
how
negative
he's,
anyway.
He's,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's really ironic. And then you
it's
have
stupid also.
People from previous administrations like Rumsfeld coming out and talking about the president, and you have other people want to call his plans weak, and this is the guy who got
and
Osama
then Congress
bin Laden.
Wants to Congress wants to have some part of it, and then once they have the part of it, then they're talking about him. Now they're saying what?
Right.
Once they have the part, and once they all vote on it, because they know it has to happen. This
right.
is chemical warfare that Cynthia, that
right.
Syria is doing on their own people.
Well, for me, I don't know
how
if,
far is that going to go.
If you probably look on the label, you flip the label up, you probably see it made in America on that weapon. So
cold, Eric, cold.
You know, you never know. I mean,
yeah.
we want to sell arms everywhere in the world, and we kind of act like we're surprised when they come back to bite us in the
rear end,
so to speak.
Mm.
So it's just really funny
yeah.
how these guys operate, and you know, you begin to see that there's no. That it's two sides of the same
yeah.
coin. That's why a lot of people check out of the process. A lot of people aren't really interested in the process, unfortunately, because they see it as being one big game.
Yeah.
And you know, the basic thing you want to get out of it at least is that the broadest cross section of people can somehow improve their position in life, because you know 90% of the population. Is, you know, 1% of the population controls approximately 40% of the wealth in the United States.
Yeah.
And they control more wealth than 90% of the population combined, or something like that. So,
and the majority of them, I think, just happen to be Republicans.
Probably so.
Yeah.
I think more so they're about keeping their money, and they really aren't concerned about anybody else and any other people. So it's a funny place.
Yeah,
this country of ours, and just to see the daily things that go on, and as you see, it's obvious how they treat this president, and it's really unfortunate, but it's transparent. Got to give them credit; they're upfront about how they really feel.
Yeah, the people say, "Well, why aren't you doing this?" And some of the people in the community, in our community, say, "Why aren't you doing this? And why aren't you doing that?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, he is doing this or doing that just by being who he is and being president.
Right.
So
right.
give him that support where support is supposed to be had, you know, or given.
Right.
So it's really unfortunate that people will say this president did that, and they know who they are, you know,
mm-hmm.
and support the fact that, you know, you either have to, you know, support what Syria is doing or what Syria is not doing. The fact that they're using chemical warfare, you know, on their you know, their citizens,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't make sense. But you know what I don't understand there? There must be something really, what is it that we need Syria for? Is it for the oil, you know, is it for...
You know, that's the whole thing.
You say that's what I want to know.
Majority of people in the country
don't
know.
Don't even know, right.
Well,
right.
I don't know. I mean, it's a terrible thing that this guy released gas to
yeah.
his own people. But, you know, Saddam Hussein did it years ago, and the United States didn't seem to have a problem. As a matter of fact, at one time, the United States was friends with Saddam
mm-hmm.
Hussein. Donald Rumsfeld... who called the president the weakest president in my lifetime, he shook hands with Saddam Hussein.
Mm.
He was trying to do business with him. So, you know, these guys are to me, they're one step above war criminals. And, you know, for them to disrespect and jump on this president every single opportunity they have is ridiculous.
They should feel lucky that he's there.
You know.
You know, because they have somebody to beat up on. But this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm one to... you know, contact someone who we had 5 minutes before we go to a break. I want to contact somebody in Master Control to see if we can call Darth Ann Kirk, you know, the jazz person, the jazz lady. She is like an icon in Newark, you know,
mm-hmm.
regarding jazz. You know, she knows all the people.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the husband of, what
wife.
Is it? Well, the wife of the husband, good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
She is the wife of, you know, her husband, Roland.
Or she could be the husband.
Kirk, not in this instance.
Depends.
But anyway, yeah, of who's a famous reed player, saxophone
mm-hmm.
player.
Mm-hmm.
He's known to play three, you know, saxophones, three horns at one time.
So her husband,
very famous reed player, Roland Kirk.
Okay.
Rasan Roland Kirk.
And he did what again?
He was able to read instruments and able to play three horns, so they say, at one particular time. Plus the fact that You know, she went out to San Jose, mm-hmm. you know, in California, because there was some big event, you know, out there, you know, giving praise to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Dorothy was out there. She's an amazing woman. She mm-hmm. is an absolutely amazing woman, and I've been wanting to talk to her for a long period of time. Hi there in Master Control, Tati.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're getting ready to go for a break. Do you want to make the call? Yes, I would like to call her and see if we can get her on the line. Because she's a pretty important lady. There's so many things going on downtown.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you were with us when we drive it and see the new buildings down there.
I've seen them before. I don't know if I was riding with you guys at that time. But
new restaurant down there called the Elbow Room.
Mm-hmm.
Elbow meaning that they cook baked macaroni. Elbow macaroni.
I don't understand that reference.
It's tongue-in-cheek. I don't know the reference, you know?
Oh.
Elbow macaroni? Elbow macaroni?
What, is that a shape of
baked macaroni?
I'm not I don't eat macaroni and cheese, as you know, Ma. I tell you that every time you ask me if I want some. It's kind of hard when your mother doesn't remember what kind of food you like. You know, she keeps asking you over and over again, do you want some baked macaroni? I've been 12. I don't eat baked macaroni.
I don't know why I'm asking you that. You know I don't cook.
Grow up.
So,
anyway.
Oh, God.
The folks out there. So, Miss Kirk is obviously didn't answer the phone, but you said she's a jazz legend.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. She most certainly is. And mm-hmm. we will be talking to her at another time if we can't get to her tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But we will hold off on that for a little while. But you know one thing? I want to talk about another place that opened. A lot of people don't know
mm-hmm.
that Ruben's is open. He was open. Okay. It was closed for about
Ruben,
6 or 7 years. Ruben Johnson.
Okay.
All right. And he had a very, very popular club
mm-hmm.
and lounge. And it was called Ruben's. And he also had Lottie's restaurant right on the side that was named after his mother.
Okay.
And that was during the time that I was on LIB in those early days.
Right, but it's part of a bigger,
huge, yes.
part of a club called Bogies.
Bogies,
to get
right.
At,
it's right. Lottie's and Bogies.
Right.
And Bogies, everybody who knows about New Jersey's Ruben Johnson's restaurant. It is open again. It's been open since November.
Right.
We just found out about it, just found out about it.
Right.
And I'm so glad that he's there because, in fact, they do have the best food.
Right,
and, you know,
Lottie's is
nice.
A part of the of Bogies. A lot of people that know about the New Jersey, particularly Orange, East Orange, and Newark nightlife over there. Bogies was a very popular nightclub in the area for many years before I moved away to California for the last 17 years. And they just reopened it, as you said, again. It was closed for a number of years.
Right.
And they just reopened it again in November. And then Lottie's is a little lounge or a little restaurant portion of the entire club.
So, yeah.
And they have some good food there. We ate there the other day. Very good. And
they baked macaroni.
Ruben Johnson has had baked macaroni. Ruben Johnson has had several clubs
and
restaurants in the general area. So.
Right.
Just you're brought up to speed now because sometimes, you know, got to get brought up to speed.
Okay, that's great. He's great. And we're going to be hearing more from him, by the way. You know,
right.
We'll be, you know, talking with him about some businesses. As a matter of fact, a lot of people from the Caribbean go to Ruben's and to Lottie.
I
want to say that.
That's
really important because we had such a huge, you know, listenership.
Right.
You know, at WLIB with the whole Caribbean, you know, community.
Yeah,
so, which is what we're
going to
be doing
here.
Again.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Matter of fact.
We have to figure this out.
Okay.
We are going for break. Time for a break. We will be right back. I'm Kay Thompson.
And I'm Eric Payne. And this is Kay Thompson Live on GoPro Radio Network.
For good eating, then stay beat in the path to the network with the best rap will hook you up fast. They keep it crispy with the 411 and feeding you right, chopping it up, dishing it out. It's tasting good, but don't bite. With recipes are sublime and info fresh off the vine. They keep you GMO free, cause be you all what you eat. Now if you too busy chewing on the FAQ fat wag, tune into the F to the O to the O to D food rap. Listen to the kitchen on the show with the utmost. But even me and Shauna G, your fly MC chef. Oh, food rap. It's time to eat better. I know you feel the pressure. Can I get a yes, yes, sir? A yes, yes, sir. For the hot show on the block, from the street to the hood. Keep it locked. Gone for rapper talk. Never tastes it so good.
Oh, yeah, delicious. Put that pizzas, hamburgers, and french fries. Oh, yeah. All the fast food I can eat. Oh, no, I can't. Oh, no. I'm hungry. Hey, am I
Sprout.
Food rap.
Food rap. GoPro Radio Network. Nina Marcel, Sonic Lover, let's go.
That's it.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
And we are back. Kay Thompson Live here. I'm Kay Thompson, and this is, who are you?
I'm Eric Payne. This is the Kay Thompson Live show on the GoPro Radio Network.
Right.
GoProRadio.com. That's a funny commercial. I'm listening. I honestly put that pork chuck down. That's hilarious. When you say broccoli is in the house, I'm liking that. It's pretty funny, that commercial there. Food rap.
Mm-hmm,
rapping
mm-hmm.
about food. I get it.
Yeah.
Ding dong.
Yeah, that's the, where is that?
What?
The rapping about food.
Never mind.
I want to know if they have some food
that was
here.
The commercial, yeah. They were rapping about food.
Oh, okay. Food I wasn't rap. Paying get attention it? To it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So they had the 50th anniversary march. I don't know if we talked about it, but it was last week. But it was a really phenomenal thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I just watched some of the after shows and some of the other networks. And you know, I try to keep up with the talk networks and the news and stuff like that. But sometimes you have, like a lot of people, probably don't watch that stuff when they listen to it, like Fox News and these people like O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh, who always try to bastardize those things and really put a negative spin in. They're just evil, hateful people, and they just, you know, try to talk about how the march was co-opted by whatever O'Reilly was saying. But, you know, these folks, what you got to understand, what I understood, is that this is talk TV, so they got to have something to talk about in the 24-hour news cycle. So one side has got to be pro, one side has got to be con. So obviously, Fox News Network is con, against everything, against, you know, liberal agenda, against the largest number of Americans being included in the American dream. And you have places like MSNBC and maybe CNN or something like that. They're on the other side. But, you know, you got all these talking heads all day on these stations, and one person's on one side and one person on the other side, and it's argument television, and they get down arguing with each other. So it's just really a funny thing to me.
Yeah,
how that happens, and particularly some of those people that are pushing hate and try to divide our society.
I wonder why they do that. You know, why? I know about racism, and I know about intense racism, but they have to feel something inside them that's really so negative and so vicious.
Right.
You know, to hate another people because of the color of their skin, or to hate other people just because.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You know, and I don't get it. I think that people have enjoyed a preferred citizenship. I've said it before, a term that I've coined is preferred citizenship, where these people have enjoyed a first-class citizenship in this country, and now they're not enjoying a preferred status. You know, everybody likes to be the preferred person. You get to go to the front of the line. You might get service first at a restaurant. And human nature a lot of times suggests that some people want to have better treatment than other people, unfortunately. And that just seems to be a human trait. It's kind of like, I guess, why capitalism works in this country, because some people want to have more than others. They want to treat
people. They think they're entitled to more than others.
Some people do think they're entitled to more than others, and they think that other people are just in the world to serve them. And it's kind of an odd human trait that we have. And a lot of these people that wish to divide us, they play upon those traits and that.
And, you know, we also have people within our community who are, you know, against each other for no uncertain reason.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because they don't also like Obama. Why?
Could be the crabs in the barrel effect.
You know?
I don't know. I'm just talking about in general. I'm not necessarily talking about the president at that particular point, but
I am.
It's just an interesting observation that I made in watching how some people operate in the world today. So that's one of the crazy things about it. And we also, hopefully, we're going to have Congressman Don Payne call in and get his assessment about the situation, you know, the newest situation here. Also, the president has enlisted the help of Bill Clinton to try and explain Obamacare, which is basically, you know, the improved health care system. And, you know, they need a better, you know, the Democrats, to me, need a better PR person. They need to, you know, hire these guys here so so we can put some wraps on and help sell some of them programs, help sell Obamacare and all these other these other things and the ideas that the Obama administration and Democrats are trying to push forward. And in about 2 weeks, we got the Congressional Black Caucus Week is going to be happening, where the Congressional Black Caucus members and the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, they have a week, about 4 days of workshops and brain trust and seminars that people could come and take part in and be brought up to speed on the state of Black America, where we are as a people, and explore and hear about new opportunities and things that are going on within the community. So that's going to be happening in about 2 weeks. If I can get to my bag, I can give some folks out there a more accurate date. I think it starts maybe on the 18th. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah.
We want to make sure we remind people about that and let them know about that.
Also, I want to give out the number for people to call in if you should want to call in, and also give us your opinions of the things that are going on today. You know, we can talk about New York politics. We can talk about the politics in Washington. We can even talk about the March on Washington and the remnants of it. A lot of people, you know, hadn't experienced it or anything involved with it. So if you want to talk about that, that would be a very good thing to do also. But we're still trying to, you know, get this whole jazz thing going on because we're going to be doing more about jazz.
You know,
letting people know, especially people from the Caribbean, because of the fact that when I was on WLIB, they did have a voice.
Right.
And they did have a base where they could come to. As a matter of fact, with Ruben's restaurant,
right,
you know, they're in East Orange on William Street, everyone. It is open. The food is delicious. He has Lottie's, his mother's, named after his mother.
Right.
And then Ruben's, which is the lounge, you know, the drinks and the dancing, the lawn dancing. I'm telling you, a really good time. But so there are a lot of Bogies.
It's called Bogies.
Everybody. Lots of people in the store know about Bogies.
Right.
You know, because it was so popular in the day.
Right. That is not named Bogies, not Rubens. Rubens, he doesn't have that place anymore.
He's probably sitting there saying, what is the matter with her? It's Bogies.
Right.
Well, you know, I did do that ad for him, you know, years ago.
Right.
You know, and he really liked it. It was really a lot of fun. But anyway, let's talk about the carnival, you know, for a minute.
Well, let's talk about some tennis. That's what you like to talk about.
Yeah,
that's what you're into.
Yeah,
let's talk about.
Just got finished watching Serena and Venus.
So Serena and Venus?
Yeah, Serena and Venus. They just won the, what I think it was in second, the doubles, the women's doubles.
Mm-hmm.
And
so we're talking about the U.S. Open. That's
the
taking
U.S.
place
Open.
In Flushing.
Flushing. Uh-huh. Flushing Meadow.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, you know, they're going to be putting a roof on there, you know, which is good.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but yes, they did win women's doubles. I think they play in the doubles next, and you know, then the finals.
Right.
So, and then of course Serena won.
Right, she won her match.
She won her match. Now she's got to play in the quarters. Either the quarters or either the quarters. So she will play some. She probably won't play tomorrow since they played tonight.
Right.
They usually have a day off.
So what's the history actually of the U.S. Open now? Years ago when Arthur Ashe. Long time ago, I think
was
Ash
beaten
was.
By McEnroe.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've been going. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Give us some. Can you give us some history?
Sure.
About the U.S. Open.
I play tennis. Yeah. Well, you know, the U.S. Open is still as popular as ever. As a matter of fact, it's even more so.
Mm-hmm.
And the ticket sales are very heavy.
Yeah.
There was a young girl there that her name is Sloane Stephens.
Right. We're talking about this year.
Yeah, this year, and she was there last year.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's an African-American young lady.
African-American,
right,
yeah,
right.
Young lady. And a really good player.
Is she still competing now in this year? She didn't get knocked out.
Yes, she did. She just got knocked out by Serena, as a matter of fact.
Oh, her and Serena played.
Serena's playing better than ever because
she
went through a whole series of, you know, illnesses and whatnot.
Right,
and
right.
She was really pretty sick there for a while.
I see.
Came back from it, had that blood clot thing and, you know, and then her muscles and,
right.
You know, and Venus, too, had her share of, you know, but I remember when they first started.
Right.
You know, and I was on WLIB at that time, and those girls really caught it. And one of the people who gave them a hard time was McEnroe.
John McEnroe.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. And he got a lot of difficulty. As a matter of fact, when he said a negative thing about them, you know, here these two young ladies are playing with a whole lot of beads in their hair, and of course all of us loved it.
Right, right.
You know, because it was a mark of, yes, they have this talent and they are to be respected.
Right.
And McEnroe said a nasty thing. It just so happened that on that day, I don't remember exactly what the words were, but I know we were pretty angry on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And on that same day, he was to speak at the Black Journalists' dinner.
Right.
And I was waiting for it, you know. And I said, boy, I'm telling you, if he goes there. But he did, and initially, immediately, he apologized.
Right.
Because he knew that people there were going to jump all over him. So, and he has since, of course, he apologized and apologized and apologized.
The curious thing to me is who invited them to the black journalist dinner to speak
in
the first place?
Well, that's another story.
It's just an odd choice to me, because he wasn't really a journalist, right?
Right.
He was a sports commentator because he used to play tennis, but how do you...
Now he's a sports commentator.
But he was at that time, too, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, he wasn't playing anymore. He was commentating on sports, on tennis.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean. But the thing that I'm noticing is that how do journalists invite this guy, black journalists,
decide
to invite this guy that's pretty much a sportscaster who probably doesn't have anything to do with black issues in journalism?
Mm-hmm.
How did they decide? I mean, was it during the time of the U.S. Open so they knew he was covering it? Or it just seemed weird to me. How the hell do you end up having John McEnroe at the black journalist dinner?
But I wondered that.
That's just kind of how my mind
works. Larry Hardesty was at at LIB during that time, and also
Larry Hardesty,
yeah, and he's a sports reporter.
Okay,
you know, he's a sports reporter up in the sports reporting for LIB BLS for a long time, as did Pat Atwell.
Right.
And Pat and me, they're all still really good friends and whatnot.
Right.
And I don't know who invited McEnroe, but, this was a big thing. You know,
right.
The girls were playing and, you know, so forth and so
on.
And don't know what happened, but, you know, McEnroe made a big mistake, although I was there when he played Ash, and he beat Ash, Arthur Ashe.
Right. That is during going back to his playing days.
Yeah, to his playing days.
Uh-huh.
So now, yes, he is one of the sports announcers.
Yeah, well, he's been for the last 15, 20 years.
Right. But I remember when Venus and Serena stepped out on that court, two young girls with all the beads in the world, they caught a fit.
Right.
You know, in the dressing room, you know, because we knew people who were going in and out and so forth and so on. And but they really caught it.
Mm-hmm.
And the tennis world, primarily the white tennis world, gave those girls a fit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now look at them now.
Because they were black, period. Oh, okay.
Because they were black. I mean, they were two little black kids from what? In California, from Watts? Was it Watts?
Watts or Compton,
yeah.
I think.
Who was taught tennis by their father.
Right.
I don't care what anybody says about Serena and Venus's father. The guy taught them tennis.
Taught them well. They brought up two champions. But maybe a lot of people didn't like that because he was so boisterous, remember, at the time. But I think it's time for us to go to a little break here.
Yeah.
We're going to go to a little break. We want you to stay right with us on the Kay Thompson Live Show here on the GoPro Radio Network on GoProRadio.com. Come right back.
You want to know the truth, folks? Do you really want to know the truth? Well, perhaps you can't handle the truth. But if you can, you can listen to GoPro Radio. Tune in at www.goproradio.com. Now, have I made myself clear?
GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. I know I do.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
Well, I'm going to just mention Darth Ann Kirk because she is such a wonderful woman down there at the JS station downtown Newark. You know, go ahead.
Well, before you go there, we have a caller.
Online.
And I believe that might be caller. Go ahead. Is this who I think it is?
Hello. You're on the air.
I think it is. I believe it is. Who you think it is?
Congressman Payne. How are you, Congressman Donald Payne Jr. calling in to give us?
How are you, Congressman?
I'm doing well this night. Thank you, Kay.
Okay. Got your invitation to the Congressional Black Caucus's event. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. We're really looking forward to Saturday. We have one of the senior members in the Congressional Black Caucus coming to New Jersey to share her wisdom and her thoughts on issues around this country and in our communities. the one and only Maxine Waters is coming here.
And this is going to be an event for the Women for Payne, Women for Don Payne Jr. Sponsoring a brunch, I believe it is, for you. Congressman, is that correct?
That's correct. It's on Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11 at the Mayfair Farms in West Orange, New Jersey. Uh-huh. And I'm just excited and delighted that the Congresswoman, you know, is taking time out of her busy schedule to support me in this effort. And she is a person, when we have our meetings with the Black Caucus, I'm on the edge of my seat based on the things that she says. I mean, I'm so fortunate to spend time in a room in a think tank with the minds that we have in the Congressional Black Caucus. So it's always a learning experience for me. I very rarely get into the discussion because there's so much to learn by listening.
Right.
So I'm just so excited that she's coming here this weekend.
Right.
Now you say that's this Saturday, September 7th, Donald?
That's correct. Saturday, okay. September 7th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Mayfair Farm.
Mayfair Farm,
in West Orange, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, Mayfair Farm is West Orange. Okay, we all know that. Well, people in Jersey know that anyway.
And we want you to come out and support the pain. You get a chance. Congressman,
I'll be there.
Now, let me ask you, you know, the current situation is the president is facing a serious situation, and certainly the Senate panel has okayed it for some sort of action to be taken. What's
Hello?
Your assessment on that? Are you still? Can you still hear us?
Yes.
We're curious to know what your assessment is about the Syria issue that's facing the country right now, the president, and obviously you guys are in the Congress and the Senate.
I figured that was going to come up this evening. we're facing a situation here that is quite a dilemma for this congressperson. I've been someone that has supported the president on many different issues, and some I have not. But to see the pictures, well, to have this ongoing civil war, I guess, was horrific enough based on what the Assad was doing to his own people. But then when he used the sarin gas on them, that just took it to another whole level. There had been reports of atrocities over the past year or so. But, this takes it to absolutely the most utterly inhumane area. And my heart is angry and wants to do something about a diabolical person who is the leader of a nation and does this to his own people.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to go back into war when we're just finally getting out of these circumstances, situations that we've had ourselves in over the past decade,
mm-hmm.
Gives me pause. And I am very reluctant to support this issue, but I have not made my decision yet. We will return to Washington on Monday, mm-hmm. to have some classified briefings, and then we'll see where the chips fall. But they're going to have to really, president is going to have to really make a compelling case,
right.
For me to support this.
Right. Now, and you guys have to vote on it. Is that how it works? It comes to the Congress for a full vote, and you guys have to pass the measure. Is that how it will work?
Yes. To be honest, in government, we're in the political arena, and, the president is playing a little political chess here as well. because he didn't necessarily have to ask us for the permission to do what he's asking to do now. And a lot of presidents have used their War Power Act power authority not to have to come to Congress.
But I think when
England, when Great Britain backed out, the president figured he better check with us.
Right.
But the president, Donald, let me ask this question before you go on. The president has thrown that since the members of Congress were objecting to it so much. And so that since they were really on his case about it. Now, what he did was throw it right back at them. You want it, you take it. Now you decide what's going on. So what's going to happen now? And why does the United States have to, what's in Syria that we have to be concerned about? Is it oil? Is it a military base? What is the situation with Syria?
Well, it's oil for some people in that area. One of the major pipelines for oil in that area runs through Syria. And, you know, there is the issue of Iran, who is backing the Syrian government on this, who is our arch enemy. And that has a lot to do with it as well. There's a feeling that, you know, Iran will be emboldened by this move, and it's really Iran testing our resolve in this matter, because they're trying to see if the president is going to blink, and it is a situation that also, you know, encompasses Israel, so that's always a consideration. And so there are some interests of ours. I don't know to what level the interest should be, but you know, those are a few that I can think of off the top of my head.
You know, and it seems that we've been involved over there for quite some time. You know, and it's, you know, even since we might have been children, we never really know the history. I'm not as familiar with the history of these relationships that the U.S. has with, you know,
with these
really
other countries,
just how far back, particularly in areas like that, where there seems to be constant strife in that, those regions of the world. But one thing we do know, and I think that you're probably in agreement with that, is that, you know, these dictators from around the world, sometimes we're friendly with these people at one point in time, then you come back 3 or 4 years later, we weren't friendly. I was talking about earlier how Donald Rumsfeld had the nerve to criticize the president, but when they showed some old historical pictures of him shaking hands with Saddam Hussein, you know, at one time when he was representing, I guess, one of the Bush administrations, perhaps, and, you know, there were some relationships with Saddam Hussein years ago. Maybe it wasn't W's administration, maybe it was Big George's, or maybe Ronald Reagan's, who knows. But it's cyclical. You know, we do business with some of these people. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're mad at them. Sometimes we're not. And it's
confusing.
It's confusing, but it seems to just kind of frustrate the American public. Does that frustrate any of you guys as well?
Oh, sure. Hello?
Yeah. We're listening.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Sure. Listen, I mean, you know, sometimes we like them, sometimes we don't. Do you remember Noriega in Panama?
Yeah.
You know, Saddam Hussein was our friend at one time.
That's right.
So you can go down the litany. It depends on if they're serving the interests of, you know, who's ever in power, or what the agenda is at that time based on the different administrations. I don't feel the president has had that type of relationship with any of these dictators. But I mean, you know, Mubarak was in Egypt, was one of our greatest friends, and now look at what we hear about what he did for 20 years,
right?
Egypt, and I mean, we considered him a close friend and ally, and you know, most of the nation didn't realize what was going on. I surely didn't. I thought that they were the, you know, I always gave Sadat credit for being willing to shake the hands of the Ifsat Rabib, and he was killed for that.
Right, right.
You remember, he was killed for brokering that peace treaty with Israel.
Right.
And Hosni Mubarak came to power after Sadat. And mm-hmm. now what we hear in Egypt is unreal.
Yeah.
So we've always had friends that didn't necessarily go along with you know, American values and our humanitarian side of the issue. So I mean, you know, it's a matter, you know, it's always interesting to find when they fall out of favor. You know, someone, you know, a guy that was all right 2 years ago, now, you know, we need the regime change. So it's really mm-hmm. interesting to watch the American foreign policy play out.
It really is interesting. It's also complicated. And, you know, I don't think the majority of the American public understand exactly what's going on, why we're for one company, one country, and against the other. And then we change up. And then there's South Korea, and then there's Korea. They're together. They're not together. They've got this. They've got that. It doesn't even make sense.
That's why the average American can't afford to pay attention. They're trying to pay their bills and get to work, and they got to deal with all this, that. And then you got to pay attention to foreign policy. You know, I'm convinced that people don't give you guys enough credit, because you guys are the ones that are keeping your eye on the ball as it relates to all these things. The average person, you know, is just getting up and going to work. As I said, they're trying to survive, but they don't realize
right.
really what's entailed to run a country, to keep
yeah.
The lights on, to have the infrastructure, to have the ask the average person what the grid is.
Mm.
You know, what's the electrical grid? They don't. I never paid much attention to that until recent. Being aware of the grid and that power structure and how it provides power to the entire country, a certain
area,
and
where it comes from,
and how that could be cyber attack, you
wow.
know. So when our basic necessities become threatened, you know, when you go through a natural disaster, a hurricane or an earthquake, and you realize electricity, running water, these are things that people take for granted every day, you know. And it's
absolutely. I mean, there are a lot of nations that don't have, you know, their the grid or the power system is inconsistent.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have power three or four times a day, in different intervals, and then other than that, they don't have power.
Yeah.
Right. Right, Congressman. We want to keep you on the line because we want to talk about that. We want to ask you about your trip to China that we know that you took, but we have to take a quick break right now on the Kay Thompson Live Show. I'm Eric Payne.
And I'm Kay Thompson, and we will be right back. Stay with us, everyone.
Hi, I'm Nina Markow. I'll be bringing up your purchase today, and my associate Shauna Glover will bag your item.
Hey there.
Hey, nice to meet both of you. Let's see, pork rinds, grape soda, genetically modified strawberries.
Yeah.
No me gusta.
Oh.
Okay, I don't want to offend you or anything, but none of this stuff is good for you.
It can't be that bad.
You're practically digging your grave with your teeth.
Yikes. But don't worry, there are healthier choices that are just as delicious. You can try some dried kale instead of potato chips.
Hmm. Or even actual grape juice in the place of the purple liquid cavities.
Right.
Also organic fruit instead of the GMOs.
Hmm. You guys have some good ideas, but how do you know so much about good eating? Shauna and I host the brand new talk show, Food Wrap, every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the GoPro Radio Network.
Yeah, it's the brand new radio show that's all about good eating. Nina and I will take you on a delicious journey through the latest trends and traditions in alternative eating from the everyday person's perspective.
Wait a minute, I heard about that show, Food Wrap, on the GoPro Radio Network, right?
Yep, it's the perfect weekly digest for anyone looking to beef up on food facts and share their own discoveries.
All right, that's it. I'm putting all this junk back and I'm making better choices. And the first choice I'm making is to tune into Food Wrap every week from now on. That's every Saturday at 3 p.m. on the GoPro Radio Network.
At www.goproradio.com.
Where talk never tasted so good.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network. The fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
And we are back. Gee, that was dramatic, Tati. Yeah, wow. I like that.
That was your voice, huh, Tati? we have a congressman, and we have another caller on. Who's the other caller there calling in? Caller.
You're on the air. Hello. You're on the air. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sounds like we have another Payne line. Is that William Payne?
Another Payne. You are on the air. Come on.
We're just talking about the situation in Syria. We're talking with Congressman Payne, former Assemblyman William Payne. We're talking about the situation in Syria, and the congressman is saying he doesn't know exactly if he's going to be able to support the president in this endeavor. What do you think your thought? What do you think your thoughts are? What are your thoughts are about that situation? Maybe you can give some perspective about the history of the relation with the United States and Syria.
Well, actually, I think we have a situation where, if one looks at this situation from a purely humanitarian perspective, the fact is that there is an international law that prohibits the use of gases against mankind. Was passed after the Second World War, or around that time, First World War, I'm sorry. And the fact is then that the Syrian president or head has violated that international norm. So, from that perspective, he is violating the world and international law, and therefore should be caused to pay for that. On the other hand, you have people that are, so I say, pragmatic politicians who are saying, well, how does this impact me as a person, or how does this impact our country as a person? The fact is, everybody agrees that there's a violation of international law here. And all nations, all people should stand up and bring this violator to justice. Unfortunately, we have people that are concerned about whether or not they're going to be reelected when they run for office, and that's always in the back of the minds of these people, unfortunately, and they're not able to really do what their conscience tells them it should do. And the fact that the United States and President Obama is standing almost by himself from a moral perspective, and also from the fact that he recognizes that the international law has been violated. And it's my hope that he will be able to convince the Congress to stand up with him to bring Assad to his knees.
Now, let me stop you right there, because that sounds it's a moral thing to do. But some elected officials, I want to get Congressman Payne in here, might say that's easier said than done, because what about your constituency? Do you? What if the majority of your constituents want you to stay out of that involvement? I mean,
sure,
Congressman, what? Let me ask you about that. The assemblyman just said.
Well, what's happened in my office over the past several days is, you know, naturally, constituents call in and voice their opinion, and I would say
100 to 1 maybe are against going.
99.9 are requesting me to vote against it. So that is something I have to take into consideration. But to the assemblyman's
every congressional
the president is standing out there alone on a humanitarian and a moral situation. And if anybody's seen those pictures of those young children, and the condition that they're in based on what their government has decided to unleash on them, you can't just sit by and see that happen. So it is a difficult decision, and
Congressman, you have a dilemma. There's no question about it. And I think that you need more time to think about it, and I wouldn't want you to over the air to state what your position is right now. However, I think the president has himself in a situation where the president needs to make it clear and sell his position to the United States of America, the people in America, and not only in America, but, of course, around the world. The president has an obligation, I think, now to clearly indicate to the world, to the people here, why we're doing this. And there may be some things in the classified briefings that you may get that will be able to convince you and others which way to vote. I'm suggesting that
absolutely.
The president needs to be very forceful and very clear to the world as to why we need to do that. And then what happens afterwards? People are worried about being dragged into another prolonged engagement abroad as it was in the past. So the president has a job ahead of him to convince people of his position, and I think that's what he's up to him to do, go to the public and do that.
And certainly lay out the course for action. What then? Like you said, what happens afterwards?
Sure.
It's going to be limited strikes. Do we take out their whole situation? You know, and really it's kind of like, you know, one country people want to stay out of because we just came out of a war. But, you know, we all know a great man once said that a threat to justice anywhere is a threat to justice
mm-hmm.
everywhere.
Exactly.
And it's also the Bible, if you'll do this to the least of mine. So where morally, you know, in the world that we stand in a place to say that this man is gassing. I mean, because normally what happens in these conflicts is the people who catch the most hell and get the most injuries and casualties inflicted upon them aren't the people that are fighting the wars. It's women and children
right.
and civilians
right.
that are not in the
yeah.
conflict. You know,
yeah.
and these
yeah.
people are poor people trying to dodge in between these guys fighting.
Sure.
They're just trying to live their life. And
right.
that's
yeah, there's only been two times in the world that this law, this international law, has been violated. One by Hitler, and the other by Saddam Hussein. Only two times since this law has been in, and international law has been there. The president has a job to sell to the public, to the world, that what his position is and why he's taking it, and then perhaps at that point he'll be able to get the support that he needs.
So will that happen?
And humanity.
Will that happen?
Will that happen? That's a good question.
Yeah.
I think that there may very well be the possibility that he will get the support from the Congress. If not, I think that the Congress may have to live with that decision. At this stage of the game, I'm confident that the Congress will do the right thing. But it is a complex thing. There's no question about it. It's absolutely a complex thing. Saddam Hussein did the same thing to his people. This terrorist has done the same thing to his people before this. But I don't know. Hopefully, the president will be able to clearly delineate his reasoning and be able to convince people to stand up to make sure that this international law. You see, this is something. This is what gets to me. It's an international law, and it impacts on every nation in the world.
Yeah.
And that it's violating the international law, which has been in existence for over 100 years or thereabouts. Only the second time in history that it's been violated, and I think every nation should stand up because it impacts on them too.
We have a few seconds, and really, you know, we'll have to have you on more often about the history of this because people are baffled by it. Why are we here? Why are we there? What's the point of it? And, you know, when does this stuff stop? When did we stop being interested in the affairs of other countries? How does that impact us? And the average person does not really understand that. But thanks a lot.
Right.
You know, we will be talking to you again another time. And thanks to the congressman also. We will be talking to you.
Congressman Donald Payne, the event's going to be on this Saturday, the brunch
this
at the
Saturday.
Mayfair Farms. Give us time again, Congressman.
9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And the Honorable Maxine Waters, the highest ranking member of the Financial Services Committee for the Congress will be in New Jersey.
Okay.
Terrific.
That's right. Former Assemblyman William Payne, thanks for calling in. We're going to pick up this discussion again. There's some things I want to talk about. Can you really have any, next show, can you really have any wars, any rules of war? That's another thing. Let's get out of here, Mom. We got to go.
Well, we have a couple minutes, I think. Are we ready to wrap up?
I believe we have to get on out of here.
Okay,
let's wrap it up.
We see fingers going, you know, high side.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Eric.
All right, thank you, Kate Thompson.
And this is Kate Thompson Live, and we'll join us again next Wednesday.
On the GoPro Radio Network on Kate Thompson Live Show. Right, Mom?
Until then.